You're listening to a podcast from 702.
So a couple of months ago, especially during the height of COVID-19, we were having conversations, quite a number of conversations around mental health. And that inspired a question that we're really curious about and want to trial it for a little bit about how we can go about being more mindful of guarding our mental health. So we've been dipping in and out of this issue for on and off here and there, but through our interactions, things like the 702 listener survey, through the conversations and the feedback that we have whenever we make space for mental health issues, it's been clear, it's quite evident that mental health matters to all of us. And so the general response we get on the topic really confirms it's important. And we thought, how about we find a way to remind ourselves on how we can safeguard our mental health? You know, a daily check-in. Have a moment where we have a daily check-in. And this show happens roughly halfway through the day. Your morning would have happened, and perhaps things are not going accordingly. And as we are often your companion through the day, this would be just a moment to pause, a moment to have a personal check-in with yourself. And we would offer that reminder with the right guests, with the relevant experts who would guide us through this moment, this brief moment that we will take from the show so that we can all have our own check-in. So we're going to trial this. Come along with us. Give us feedback on what you think of it. It is novel. You know, we've never done it before. And we want to see whether or not it will be of benefit to all of us. I know it's a habit that I've started, when I started breath work, to just be cognizant of how I'm breathing. So if I'm stressed, then I feel the tension in my shoulders. I notice the shallow breathing. I notice the accelerated heart rate. And then it forces me to slow down, to breathe differently, and to be conscious of my thoughts, those very same stressful thoughts that work the stress levels up. And so we are going to kick this off. We're doing it in partnership with SADAG, and they've been absolutely instrumental in guiding this process. So this is being done with the help of professionals. Be assured, it's not me and Jonathan, like, how about? We've been consulting with them for weeks, actually. And so, to kick this off and to kind of give us a sense of why these conversations or these check-ins would be important, however long they may be, a minute or two, is Dr. Colinda Linder. She's a clinical psychologist, and of course, no stranger to the show. Thank you so much for coming on this afternoon, but of course, seeing the value of this proposition, Dr. Linder. How are you?
Oh, I think it's fabulous, you know, because I think small things definitely matter. So thanks for having me. And on behalf of the board of SADAG, double thanks. We're very excited.
Yes, so am I. And let's really give a sense of the value then, because during these difficult times, a lot of people have been feeling overwhelmed. We see it in the conversations we have and in the research. People are feeling anxious, we're stressed, and we're trying to navigate through the pandemic while also juggling all the other aspects of life, because life hasn't stopped because there's a pandemic. Yeah. And so there's also a lot of hard news, heavy news to deal with, to contend with, the life changes we're going through. How important is it to focus on our mental health?
You know, it's incredibly important. And I love what you said earlier about it might just be a minute or two, but small things matter. So I just want to quickly highlight that.
Yeah.
So, you know, that joke about you think small doesn't matter until you're alone in the room with a hungry mosquito. So, you know, then you can see how important small is.
Yeah.
But, you know, jokes aside, think of if you're somewhere in a shop and, you know, you're in a hurry and somebody just lets you go in front of them in the queue because they've got a big trolley and you've got one thing. It's a little gesture. Or maybe you ask somebody, you know, how they're doing, or you smile at somebody, or, you know, just little things like that, a little tiny message, somebody sends you a little emoji or anything. So small matters much more than we think it does.
Mm.
And so how it's pertinent to mental health is, if you think about it, you know, your mind is paramount. It creates your day. So if something happens and you can see the opportunity versus the loss, for example, that's just one small thing, but it changes your day. or if you on a Monday thinking, oh, I've got a whole week, versus, okay, let's see how today is going to be. You know, and I think it's difficult to do that on our own. So it's great that you're partnering with SADAG and the country, you know, and whoever's listening. Because any little thing that somebody hears, it just sits with you and it's, you know, it just changes your perspective. So mental health is where it's at. It can make or break your day.
Yes, and a subtle shift. I think that's the thing that I've learned through breathwork, that just a subtle change in how you're breathing also then changes so much more after that, beyond that. You just shift the perspective, you shift the mood, even just how you feel in your body, just ever so slightly, and things start to change. So I'm going to really hold on to what you're saying about the small things and the fact that the mind creates our reality. The day starts in the mind. So how do we... This suggests that we're building resilience or an ability to also cope and get through the difficulties of life. So how do we build resilience, especially during these trying times?
You know, resilience is a word that I think we never used as much as in the last 12 months or so. So I'm going to give a quick summary of that, and I'm sure you're going to have so many different angles on this. So resilience is really about bouncing back and recovering. You know, like if we think of these terrible fires we've had through our country, there's going to have to be a recovery phase. And the more resilient you are, the better the recovery. So there's three kinds of resilience. The first is physical, and that's where something like breathwork is incredibly important. You know, many physical things, and I'm sure a lot of your guests will be covering that around, you know, drinking enough water. What are you putting into your body? How are you moving your body? So that's the first one. And then the second one is community resilience. And in a way, no one's a stranger anymore in the world because this is a pandemic. So we've all been touched. And this is where you want communities to band together. Mm. And with these fires, you can see that communities are, you know, they bring all sorts of resources to help to evacuate, like patients and students and things. So, and then the third one, which is probably my interest, is the emotional resilience. Mm. And that one can be summarized as something that we call realistic optimism. So what is that? So it's not being an idealist and it's not being a pessimist. So it's realistic, as in you can balance positive and negative things in any situation or circumstances or people. So you see the package that there's, say, opportunity and loss, or people can help you in harm, you can learn from being harmed, etc. So that's the first, the realistic. And then where the optimism comes in is having courage to explore any opportunities there might be. So you don't focus on the risk and the failure, but you believe that you have some influence and that the future can potentially be better. So that, just that term, realistic optimism, that's really the core of emotional resilience.
I love that final one, especially at a time when we feel like so much is out of our control, out of our hands. So this realistic optimism helps to balance those perspectives. Yes.
And, you know, this is part of positive psychology. So, you know, we have toxic positivity where there's no space for any other emotions, and no one's saying that. So, you know, there's plenty of time and place to unpack sadness and anger and loss and all of those. But, you know, so we're not saying it's only about positives. But I think what you're saying is you're going to be doing your bit, as in, okay, for these 5 minutes or 10, we'll be talking positive as part of the range of emotions. And there's three pillars of positive psychology. Mm-hmm. Basically, positive psychology, well, let's say the previous form of psychology was all about suffering and how do you fix wounds and damage from the past. And it's got its place. And we're looking at a different kind of building. So this is about building strength to help you achieve things and to find more meaning, because we don't just want an end to suffering. We also want to live meaningful and fulfilled lives and work on our strengths and what's good about ourselves. So the three pillars are positive experiences, which is where we have a balanced view of the past. We remember the stuff that went well. And we also remember that despite painful things, we actually came out the other end with some learning and strength. And then that helps us to be more hopeful for the future. So that's the one, the positive experiences. And then positive institutions. So that's all about how do we make our schools and communities positive? And a lot of it is, you know, how do we look at things like justice, parenting, teamwork, leadership, purpose, tolerance. You know, how do we fix our institutions and communities? And then the one that I think you're going to do an amazing piece on is the positive individual traits. Mm. And that's all about our strengths, you know, our capacity for love and learning and wisdom and creativity. And that is where that for me hooks in with the realistic optimism. So no matter what your day is like, if somebody tunes into your show because they know, okay, those 10 minutes are going to be something juicy, just that thought, it feels, even if you've had a terrible Monday, it's okay, don't worry. Let me hear what you've got up her sleeve. What little morsel is going to be there? And you can't help but be influenced by that. So this is going to be building something realistic in terms mm-hmm. of resilience and just strength and meaning and something lovely.
Yes, yes. Because that is what we see. The idea of meaning, you know,
yes.
That it's yes. not just seeking happiness, because I think we've done away with that, that life is, you're mm. meant to be happy and it's the pursuit of happiness all the time. No,
yeah.
that's not life. If yeah. anything, I think even researchers have shown that because happiness also plateaus. The things that we think will make us happy, mm-hmm. we get them. We get the money, we get the big salary, but it also plateaus. But yeah. when it comes to meaning, this is something that can keep us running, excited, passionate, far longer than happiness.
Yeah. And, you know, I think there are many resiliences and there are many parts of positive psychology. So there's no one size fits all. But certainly, you know, I think if the aim or the underpinning is that it's going to come from the positive psychology base, mm-hmm. then people who don't want to hear it don't have to listen. People who do, which will be the majority, will excitedly be tuning in. And I think, you know, one of the things in positive experiences with positive psychology is, yes, we make meaning out of the past and the trauma, but we also need hope, and hope is incredibly important. And then, of course, we need contentment for now. So if a little thing can help you get through the day a bit easier, and it can also give you a little bit of hope that there's something, you know, more you can do, or not all is lost, or that sort of thing, or just remind you mm. that out of adversity comes strength. You know, if you can do any of those, that's really going to be an amazing experience.
Yes, yes. But some would say, oh, what hope in a hopeless world, mm. in this tragic world? What hope?
Mm. You know, I think for me, it is a balance that there is suffering and there's beauty and there's hope. And the thing is that it's happening. Whatever one's belief system, you know, whether you have spirituality or not, it's yeah. happening anyway. If you look at nature, you know, things are born and die all the time. And at the end of the day, we've got both. Mm-hmm. You know, so we have the suffering and we have the beauty and we have the meaning all at the same time. And so we're not saying that it's only one over the other, but they're both there. And the positivity that we're talking about is actually based in realistic optimism. So, you know, you're going to be making a space where people can tune in to get a little bit of optimism.
Yes,
and
yes.
I think we've got a lot of the reality going already. So if we can mix a little bit of something and something useful in with that, it makes us better, you know, individually in our work, whoever we engage. So ultimately, it does lead to that community resilience and the positive institution. So it's got to start somewhere, you know.
It's got to start somewhere. And that's definitely the idea, because one of the things that gets me really down when I think of our past, how traumatized South Africans have been for such a protracted mm. period of time. And then on the mm. other hand, we don't have this, your kind of skills accessible to the services that are provided by people like you, accessible to the majority of people. So yeah. this is a small effort in just providing those principles, providing the things that we can apply in our lives, yeah. just on the radio for a minute yeah. or two. And that's all yeah. it is, because not everybody can access a Dr. Kalinda Linda or sit with a psychiatrist or a psychologist. And this isn't by any means to replace the services of a professional psychologist or of a professional at all. But it is just to make certain things that allow us to cope, that help us cope, more accessible.
you know, I think you raised something which I think is important, which is capacity. Mm-hmm. That after the 18 months we've had, I think everybody's just running on almost empty. And we didn't have the normal Decembers, and we don't, you know, we're not having our normal buses.
Yeah.
And so I don't know that we have capacity for hours and hours of positive anything right now. And so, you know, I think we're all trying to just get on with our day and do whatever duties there are, or even people who aren't out there working or doing various things, you know, that they're still connected. Maybe they're parents or whatever they are. And I just think sometimes we only have 2-3 minutes of capacity where we just don't feel we can do a whole lecture on positive psychology.
Mm.
But maybe 5 minutes of breathing, we could do that.
Yeah.
Just,
yeah.
You know, a quick little phrase or just something.
A gratitude moment, something.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. You see, you already know exactly how to do these things. I know you do.
I'm so looking forward to it.
Yeah, Serenity has been a positive institution for the community and for emotional resilience. So, you know, it ticks on all fronts.
Oh, I wish you were making the pitch because that's actually exactly what it is.
Already.
Exactly. I want to thank you. I think it's clear the road ahead is going to be fascinating as we try something new, something different. But I'm really proud that we could get SADAG on board and be guided by minds such as yours, as well as your colleagues within SADAG and within the profession. And let's see. Let's see what a minute or two can do for all of us. Just a moment to check in and be within ourselves and to commit to a more balanced view, what that can do. Thank you so much.
Such a pleasure. Be well.
Wonderful. That is clinical psychologist Dr. Colinda Linda. And I don't know what you think as someone who will be listening, you know, as you listen to 702, as you listen to the 2 hours of the Zanya Musaka show, with the prospect of just a check-in, just a minute or two to check in, because we have to guard our mental health. Look at the tragedies that we've been dealing with throughout the day. Fires, the devastation, when you think of Mostert Till, the oldest windmill, not surviving the fires in Cape Town, the lost artifacts, the lost literature. We don't know, as the university is taking stock, you know, but it's been such a heavy weight on the heart, knowing that precious works have been lost in this fire, this library at UCT. And you think of the sick people who have had to be moved out of Charlotte Maxeke Hospital in a time where already their health was uncertain, to another hospital with new healthcare workers on their journey to trying to achieve better health. It's a lot. It's a lot to take in on a daily basis. So how do we balance the scale? And we can only balance the scale by also choosing to look to the things that we can be grateful for, and the things that bring optimism into the world. So for the foreseeable future, we'll be bringing you these check-in moments with various professionals from SADAG. And stay listening, and do please give us your feedback as we're dipping our toes into something entirely different new. It's new terrain.